No. Here we go. You got to order a service.
Good morning. Yes. Hi, church. Thanks for your forbearance. We are a little bit late, but we're just having some organisational things happening. So my name's John Padgett. I'd like to welcome you all here this morning as we gather in Jesus' name, and particular welcome to those of you that are visiting. May our time together be a blessing for all of us, and may our living God meet each of us where we need to be met. Let me read Psalm 67, just before I do, introducing them. These are ancient words written more than 2,500 years ago and used by the people of God in worship of Him. They also give us a sense of our purpose, indeed our destiny as God's people. That is, God blesses us, God has blessed us, not to make us feel good, so that all people everywhere will learn about God through us, come to know Him and be blessed by Him. Now, so listen to these words of Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine on us, so that your ways, God, may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear Him. Let's join together in prayer. Living God, our Father, we have come together this morning to worship and acknowledge you, the almighty creator of the cosmos, who is also the loving Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our time together. Challenge us, chasten us, and change us as we are reminded again that we, the church, are the bride of Christ. And help us understand the implications of that in our lives, in the here and now. In your name and for your glory. Amen. So now Trevor and the music team are going to lead us in singing.
While the team's coming up, guys may not know, but I'm a teacher and I teach the best subject. I teach maths, and there's some students out here I recognise from my classes, and I know that they love maths, and when they come into class, they're excited, and they get as much as they can. I'm telling a fib, I'm sorry. There's some students who come into class, and they're going, I really want to learn from you, Mr. Giles. I want to understand what's going to happen today, and those students most times get a whole heap out of it. And some students, they come in and they go, oh, math is so dumb. I recognise that, that's okay. Yeah. But I love it, so I do my best I can to make them enjoy it. And, you know, those students who go, oh, this is ridiculous, they walk away usually going, this is ridiculous. Sometimes we come to church and our hearts are saying, I'm tired, I just want to rest. But I want to encourage you today to come to the Lord and just open your heart to Him. And get as much as you can from Him this morning. Mm-hmm. Let's worship the Lord, because He is a great Father. Mm-hmm. Please stand. Mm-hmm. Beyond our understandings of perfect. And Lord, as we come to you this morning, help us to hear from you. Help us to open our hearts to you and to grow in you this morning. Amen.
So just going to pray for kids' church and little kids. That's what they're called these days, kids' church and little kids. And then all the children can leave for that. Let's pray together for them. Our Father God, we do thank you for the children in our midst. Bless them in their families. Bless them as they learn about you. And particularly pray for them now for kids' church time and for little kids' time. Pray for Jeff and the others who are involved in leading that. In Jesus' name, amen. So if all the kids would like to leave, that would be really cool. And just going to ask David to come up and introduce. We've got a couple of visitors in our midst. They've been here before, and David will explain that.
So Rachel and Stan, will you join me? We've got Rachel and Stan here this morning. They've come from Sydney. They're heading back to Sydney today. And they've got a heart for the Yazidi people in Wagga. We've got Yazidis that have come here. And so, Rachel and Stan, just tell us something about the Yazidi people, because not everyone here would know. Yep.
Yeah, hi. The Yazidi people live on the northern part of Iraq and the northern part of Syria, just below the Turkish border. And they worship a unique religion. It's a dark, fallen peacock angel. That's their god. But God has brought them to here after many of their villages were wiped out by ISIS. They watched neighbors beheaded. All kinds of things happened that were terrible. But there are now 50 or 60 families here in Wagga Wagga. And we came here from the Middle East and speak Arabic, so we kind of reach out to them and share with them. They're quite open to hearing. Mm.
What are the big needs of the Yazidi people in Wagga, would you say?
You want to answer that, Annie?
Just for friendship, I know there's Rob is a fellow here. He doesn't speak a word of Arabic, but he's been very faithful to visit the families and include them in his family life and take them to his farm. And I think that's just really what these refugee families are looking for. They really want to feel included in Australian life, and they see the love of Christ. They're very aware of who Christ is, most of them, and so it's a witness of Christ to be reaching out to them and inviting them into your own life and visiting them in their own homes and going to their soccer games and things like that. It's a way to show family to them.
Mm. And what sort of time have you had with them just in these last sort of 48 hours with the Yazidi people? Because you've been away for quite a while, haven't you? Been in the US? And
I'm really excited, actually, because we're finding that these people from the Middle East, where the huge upheaval of war is just, it's broken apart everything that they place their lives in, they really have a framework somehow. They got it. They know about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Daniel and David. And they're starting to ask us for Bibles because they want to understand who they are, where they've come from, what our history is, and they're looking to the Christian faith, particularly the Jewish roots of it, the Old Testament, to understand. And it's very easy now to share with them about Christ from that reference point. So it's a very exciting days with anyone who's coming out of the Middle East, sharing Jesus from just their DNA. They just quickly get it. And so we're really excited about what God's doing here in Wagga Wagga.
And so how can we best pray for people like Rob, who's in our midst, and Milton and Sandra and others that have got a love for the Yazidi people and for them and your work? Yeah.
I think part of the prayer need is just that, it's for them kind of it's a mix and match sort of thing. They can add Jesus to the pot and mix it around. But I think probably eventually they'll need to come to a point of saying, yeah, it's only Jesus and no other gods, you know, like what I mean? That's probably the sticking point that we find in Sydney with the refugees there, is that sometimes they can add Jesus, but then they don't delete the other god or gods. So that can be problematic.
I'd say also just pray for the people who are working with the refugee communities here, because they face their own setbacks, and perseverance is a hard value, to keep persevering, persisting, a lot of discouragement. And just the fact that you guys are persisting with visiting families, we take our hats off to you. That's really the main thing, just to keep being consistent with loving people, yeah.
Thank you for coming, Rachel and Stan.
Thank you.
Okay.
So just time for a few announcements. Anybody know what this is? Yeah, it's called a bulletin. You either receive one of these when you walked in, or you might have got it electronically through the week. Please look through it. It gives you an idea of what's happening in the church this week. It's a bit show and tell. Anybody know what this is? Or this? So this is called a communication card. You will find them in the back of the seat in front of you. And this is a pencil. Hopefully there'll be a pencil somewhere there, or if you've got your own pen. Please fill it out. Even if you just put your name, sometimes I just do this, put my name on it and tick which service. And then I also have to look at the 60-plus box now. And you have opportunity to write some comments, questions, encouragements, whatever you like on the back of the cards, and then the elders look at them through the week so they can be followed up. But please do it. They're there for your use. And it's helpful to keep track of people. I have a special announcement from Ellen Poyle. She's handed this to me. It's about the Samaritan's Purse Christmas boxes. I'm going to read it out, the message that she's given me. So it's from Ellen, okay? I need the assistance of those who have a sewing machine to sew pencil cases and the bags that go in the boxes. All is straight sewing. I take that to mean even I could do it. Not asking you to do buttonholes, but I need the pencil cases back to me by the end of August so I can do them. If you have any buttons that you don't need, we'd love them. Sizes needed are ones that are the following sizes of 20 cent, 10 cent and 5 cent coins. Do you remember what 5 cent coin looks like? If you can help, there is a blue covered book under the display in the foyer. Please write your name in it. Ellen would be most appreciative of that. I think there's also, over these next few weeks, there's a depression seminar, a biblical view of depression happening on Tuesdays. Thanks, Kim. Rod Hebels is heading that up. It's for anybody whose lives have been affected by depression, either personally or somebody close to them, struggling with how come Christians get depressed? It doesn't make sense. Anyway, Rod, out of his life experience and thinking about it, is sharing over these next few weeks. Everybody is most welcome. Just goes for an hour, and you don't have to feel pressured at all to even share or anything. You just turn up and be part of it. Now, Kim, could you just go to the Relay for Life bit? Thanks. Just like to take a minute to read this. Relay for Life is the Cancer Council's big annual fundraiser. It's been happening in Wagga for 20 plus years, I think, and our church has had a team in it for the last 6 years, and we have a team in it this year as well. It's a 24-hour event. It's fundraising for cancer research and assistance and services. It's a relay. It's happening on Connolly Oval this year, and it's kind of, there's a track, and everybody sets up booths and stuff. It's sort of like a pop-up village. It is an amazing experience, and it's a lovely opportunity for us as a church to be involved. Now, we do need team members. It costs you $20 to join up. You can do it online. If you're not sure how to do that, if you just Google Relay for Life Wagga Wagga Baptist, that'll take you probably straight to our team site, and you can follow the links to join up. At the moment, we have two team members. Me and my wife, Sally. So we're lonely. So we've raised that much so far. So it's about 7 weeks to go before Relay for Life happens. Here's a few of our team from last year. You could look as good as these people. And if you're not sure that you can participate but you'd like to donate to our fundraising services, you can do that online. Or you can come and talk to me. You can hand me cash. I'll take any sort of things. I don't have one of those electronic gizmos. And donations to it are tax deductible for those of you that would be interested in that. We're just not doing this for the fun of it. This is an opportunity for us as church, as God's people in this town, to be in this community event, you know, under their rules, if you like. And we're welcome. It's been amazing. The Relay for Life people love having our involvement. And it's an opportunity to share our faith with people whose lives are touched by cancer, and everybody's lives are touched by cancer in some way. Last year we gave away 50 of the books, Hope Beyond Cure by David MacDonald, and we've got another lot of them to give away. Hopefully they'll all go as well. Pray for us in this. I heard a saying, you know, when people work, when people pray, God works. So it doesn't matter how much money we raise, please pray for us, our involvement in that. We'd be really keen to have you involved in any which way you can. Whoops. And remember, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. So we're now going to have the offering. This is an opportunity to continue our worship by giving back to God what he's given to us. Thanks. And after the offering, we'll have some more songs. Thank you.
Let us commit this money to the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can come aside from maybe a good week, maybe not such a good week, but we can come here and we can just glorify you and set aside this time to just soak up your love and your goodness to us. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can bring our gifts back to you. And I pray, Lord, that you will use this money for the extension of your kingdom. And we thank you for the privilege of being able to give something to contribute to your work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with me and sing.
Grace, what have you done? Murdered for me on that cross. Accused in absence of wrong. My sin washed away. Your love breaks my fall. The scandal of grace, you died in my place. So my soul will live. Oh, to be like you, I'd give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside. There's no one beside you, forever the hope in my heart. Oh, to be like you, I'd give all I have just to know you. Jesus, there's no one beside you, forever the hope in my heart.
Next song is Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let all baps sing. Praise to the King.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to pray. Oh.
Remind us that we are yours. Remind us that we belong in your family. and that everything we do is for you. So, Lord, lead us, guide us, and teach us this morning. Amen.
So we're going to continue our worship by joining together in prayer. Living God, our Father, creator and sustainer of the universe, we acknowledge your power and presence, your glory and honour. May your name be revered and kept holy everywhere on this earth. May we take your name and live by it. May our everyday lives glorify you. In this city called Wagga Wagga, may we be known as those people who have been with Jesus, just like the early Christians. We pray for the advance of your kingdom among the places of humankind. May it grow in spectacular ways and in quiet ways. May it change lives, break down prejudices, cross cultural barriers, remove fear, replace hostility with peace, make friends out of enemies, and reunite broken relationships. Make us channels of your love. We thank you for the ministries of our church, particularly Mercy Meals and Community Kitchen. May they be a blessing to our community, particularly in this cold season of winter. We pray for our church pastors, David, Sheldon and Dale. Bless them as they shepherd us and guide us in our lives, journeys in Jesus. We also pray specifically for our church elders, David, Colin, Kate, Jeff, Reuben and Sally. We thank you for their wisdom and counsel. Guide their thinking and considerations as they seek your will for our church into the future. We also thank you for our deacons, Chris, Julie, Greg, Trevor, Isaac, Adrian, Craig and Heather, and for all the amazing work that they do, mostly behind the scenes, to keep our church functioning. We long to see things done around the world according to your will. May your church, your representatives here on earth, be in the forefront of demonstrating your grace and compassion wherever and whenever it is needed. We've heard this morning about the Azidi people from northern Iraq, here in our midst, and indeed scattered around the world. And we do pray for the numerous millions of refugees from those countries in all sorts of places where they've lost their property and become homeless. We pray for the Rohingya people in Myanmar and pray that the bloodshed experienced there will cease. We pray for those affected and made homeless by the earthquakes in Lombok and other islands in Indonesia. And we pray for Christians in China who are currently facing increased persecution from their own government. We pray that leaders in China will have the integrity to uphold the constitution of that country, which guarantees freedom of religion. We also pray for the people of Yemen, where the continuing war has dragged on for more than 3 years. And in particular, we pray for the families that lost children in the recent rocket attack on a bus, where at least 40 kids were killed. May Christians continue to be beacons of light and hope to the many people who have become refugees around the world, and we pray that we might be here in Wagga. We do pray for our link missionaries, Jono and Heather in Malawi and Mozambique, David and Carol in Southeast Asia, Eliza and David in Central Asia on the Silk Road, and Carl and Coralie in West Asia. We ask for daily provisions that we need to live. For food and shelter, we thank you, as we recognise that you are the source of all that we need. We thank you for the recent rain on our parched countryside, and we pray for more to really soak the earth and allow good growth for the crops. Forgive us for our excesses in squandering the resources that you have lavished upon us in this country. May we be generous in our plenty. Forgive us for our sins, both deliberate and unknowing. We know that we are flawed by our failings and we continually need to be reminded that we could never earn your blessings or meet your standard of holiness. Thank you that through our Lord Jesus' death, he's paid the penalty for our sin and thus you accept us unreservedly as members of your family. We have truly become your children. In understanding this and in gratitude, may we always be ready to forgive those who wrong us. May we never hold a grudge, and may we be quick to sort out hurts with others, to clear the air and to move on together. Everyday life is full of temptations. Save us from falling into sin. Give us wisdom beyond our strength to stand firm against wrong, to swim against the tide of popular opinion when it's evil, and to stand up to oppression and judgment wherever it's found. You have promised us that if we put on the full armour of God, when the day of evil comes, we will be able to stand our ground, and after we have done everything, to remain standing. We can only do this kind of resisting in the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. We declare and proclaim that all kingly rule and authority are yours and yours alone, that you are all-powerful, and that all other power in the universe is subject to you, and that all glory is yours now and forever. Amen. Beb's just coming out to give us the Bible reading. It's from Ephesians 5, 22 to 32. And then David will be coming to speak with us.
As John said, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. In the Pew Bible, that is on page 949. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I am talking about Christ and the church.
So we are in a series, and it's a series on the church. It's called the most powerful force on earth. And we've looked already last week. Dale spoke to us about the church as the body of Christ. We've looked at the church as the temple that's filled with the Spirit. We've learned that the church is owned by Christ. But this morning we come to one of the most beautiful pictures of all of the church, and that is the church as the bride of Jesus. So let me pray and we'll look at this together. Yeah, Father, I pray with my brothers and sisters here that you would show us the beauty of your word, that you would show us the truth of your word, and Lord, it would give us hope and light. Lord, that we would love to humble ourselves under your hand and under your truth, and that we would drink in that which is so enriching from you, O God. So please be at work, Lord, by your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So imagine now in your mind a young couple, maybe they're in their 20s, and they've fallen deeply in love. There's some people here this morning, you were that young couple a few years ago, and fallen deeply in love, and you've decided to get married. God says, there it is, there's a picture. This picture of this young couple is a picture of the church, because this is what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. So two people, man and a woman, two. They come together and become one. They're united as one in marriage. And the scriptures say this is a profound, profound mystery. I'm actually talking about Christ and the church. So every couple that gets married, they are pointing to something bigger, something so amazing that is beyond our comprehension, something in eternity they're pointing to. They're a signpost to something that is profoundly mysterious. And this mystery is Christ and the church. One of the deepest longings of all human beings is for a deep, intimate, secure relationship that's full of love. It's one of the deepest longings of everyone in this room. And this picture that God has put before our eyes this morning, the picture of Christ and the church as a bridegroom and bride, is revealed to us as a picture of meeting our deepest longings, some of the deepest longings that ever we could have. The idea of God being the husband and his people being his bride is an ancient idea. Way back in Isaiah 54, God says, "For your Maker is your husband, and the Lord Almighty is his name." And in fact, in Jeremiah 3, it says that when his people go off and go off with other gods or go off with other things that they love, he calls them prostitutes. He says, I am your God. I'm your husband. You're acting like harlots, like a prostitute. And he's very, very clear on that. And so that picture of husband and wife, of God and his people, has got very, very deep roots way back in ancient times. So I want to look at Ephesians chapter 5 and ask three questions. The first question is, what is the meaning of marriage? The second question is, how does the marriage covenant change us? And the third question is, when is the wedding? So number one, what is the meaning of marriage? What is the meaning of marriage? Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What is the difference between someone that's married and someone that's just living together or just in a de facto relationship? What is the difference actually between those? This is the difference. A promise. It's a promise. I often have the privilege of having a bridegroom stand here and a bride stand here, no pulpit here. And you know, when they stand there, I'll tell you what I don't ask them. Here they are, all looking radiant and absolutely beautiful on the day. I don't ask the bride, how do you feel about your husband? And I don't ask the husband, how are you feeling inside right now? That's not what I ask. I'll tell you what I ask them. I say, will you take this woman to be your wife? Will you? Will you? Will you make a promise? And the response is, I will. It's a promise. It's a promise made between each other, and it's a promise made before a whole lot of witnesses, and it's a promise made to God, and it's a promise. That's what a marriage is. It's a covenant. It's a promise. And when God is saying Jesus is the bridegroom and his church is the bride, he is making a promise. And the way he makes that promise, the way a bride and a bridegroom make that promise is that they say words, I will. And the way Jesus makes that promise is that he gives himself up. He gives himself up for the bride. How does Jesus give himself up? He goes to the cross. He goes all the way to the cross, holds nothing back, and he's going to the cross, totally giving himself up for the bride, for his own beloved, the one that he loves. Jesus on the cross doesn't hold anything back. He receives mockery and he's got shame and he goes all the way to die, totally giving himself up. The Son of God, the one that has existed with the Father from all eternity, comes all the way down to earth and he gives himself totally. There's nothing he did not give. He gives himself up. His whole reputation is shattered. People are looking at him on the cross and they're laughing and they're mocking and they're making fun of him. But he does not care because he has only got his eyes on the bride. He's got his eyes on the people that he is purchasing. He went to the cross, and the thing that was driving him was love. Love. A love for the people. And he didn't consider the shame. He didn't consider the agony because he had his eyes on a people that he loved and that he was seeking. He was buying her. He was purchasing her. He was redeeming her. And he was making her his own. Three things about this covenant that Jesus, in his blood, is making a covenant, a promise to his people. Number one, notice how loving this covenant is. The depth of the love. I mean, we can say to someone, I love you, but in a little while, we kind of fall out of love, or we don't find the person so lovely. But Christ is not like that, because it says that while we were still sinners, while we were still ugly, while we were still sort of filthy, and there was nothing lovely in us, he loved us. And he died for us, even when we were not lovely. And so this means that it is an unbreakable promise. It's not as though he looks and it depends on how lovely we are that he will continue to commit himself to us. That is not the truth. The truth is that he saw us as we were, in our brokenness, in our dirtiness, in our grubbiness, in our unloveliness. And he says, I love you. I love you. I'm dying for you. Notice how intimate this covenant is. The marriage covenant is the most intimate of all possible pictures that God could have chosen to talk about the relationship between him and his people. He could not have chosen a more intimate picture than this. And yet this is the picture he chooses. And being a Christian is not about being a good person. That's not it. It's not about doing good things, and so I'm just going to be a good person. That's not it. To be a Christian is someone who has received the love of God so deeply in their hearts, so intimately, so powerfully, so transformingly, that they know that the God of heaven has given himself up in an unbreakable covenant of love. And notice that this covenant brings a belonging. It says here in verse 29, it says, after all, no one ever hated their own body. Do you hate your own body? No one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their bodies just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. What he's saying is that the bride and the groom used to be separate. But when they become one flesh, they are united. And in the same way, we are now united as his people to Christ. And we're one body. We're not two, we're one. And he cares for us. He loves us. We are members of his body. My thumb is a member of my body. If I badly damage it, with a hammer or whatever I do, I don't sort of just say, oh, I'll just forget my thumb and I'll just forget it. I'll just deny. What I do is that I take that thumb and it goes to hospital with me and the whole body goes because it's part of my body. I care about that. The whole body cares. And so we all go. When we are suffering, When something is painful, you belong to Christ. He will not forget you. He will not say, oh, I'll just cast you off for a minute and you're not important to me. That's not true. With an unbreakable covenant, you are his. You're loved by him and he will not drop you. He will carry you. You're deeply part of who he is. You belong. Do you see? You belong. Number one, what's the meaning of marriage? Marriage is a covenant. It's a promise. But number two, how does this marriage covenant change us? Well, it says that he gave himself up for her. Christ went to the cross and he died for his people, his bride. Why? Why? To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Listen, here is the purpose statement. Why? Why? And Jesus says, to make her holy, cleansing her. Do you know, Jesus has died for his bride. He's totally given himself up, but that was not enough. Believe it or not, that was not enough. He's got work to do. He wants to cleanse her. Do you see the church? In many ways, we are still grubby. In many ways, we are still not what we should be. Where is our courage? Where is our joy? Where is our love? But God is working and he's cleansing and he's still got work to do. You might look around and you might be dissatisfied. You might look around and say, oh, if only God's church was this or that or the other. You might do that. But Christ is totally committed to cleansing and to making us holy and to renewing us. And he's not going to stop. How? It says, through water and the word. That picture of water is a picture of, I think, picture of baptism, giving ourselves totally, nothing held back, baptism. A picture of baptism, but the word. We're cleansed and washed through his word. There is something very profound about his word. His word comes, and I just want to say this to you this morning. There is something that I do not understand, but is very, very powerful and beautiful about his word. It has a cleansing power. I desperately need to be cleansed by God's word daily and weekly and monthly, and I just need that word, and so do you. And through his word, he's doing a cleansing and a reworking in our lives. It's a washing of the water and the word. And he says there, to present to himself a radiant church. So Jesus has got in his mind, he's got this picture of a church, a bride that is just pure, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. When the bride walks down the aisle, she is perfect. Doesn't matter what she looked like yesterday. On that day, she is magnificent. Like, she is totally magnificent. And so it is with what God has got in mind for his church. You might say, oh, I just feel like giving up, or I'm just so discouraged, or whatever. But Jesus is not. He's got in his mind this picture of something that is absolutely beautiful. And I'm glad to be part of a church. I'm glad to be a pastor of a church, not because I see the church right now as riding from one victory to the other and stainless and without blemish, not yet. But I really believe that is what the Lord is doing. He's working in his love, in his power, in his deep commitment, so that he will take all our dirtiness, all our filth, all our degradation, and he is cleansing it. He is working. He's still at work. It says that to present to himself a radiant church. It's as though he said, I've chosen this church, this bride. Out of all the others I could have chosen, I've chosen her. And I want to show everyone how beautiful she is. I'm so proud of her. I think she's just absolutely magnificent. Look, I want to show it to my friends. I want to show it to all creation. See what a beautiful, beautiful bride she is. That is God's commitment in Christ, to make himself a church. And so it is that we as a church more and more need to be a people that through our love and through our joy, through our deep repentance and through our hope, through our good works, through our praise, are like a bride, just like a bride, without blemish. Radiant is the word here. Radiant. Lastly, number three, when is the wedding? Do you know there's a very big difference between a wedding that we have in Australia in the West and a Jewish wedding? They're actually quite different in this regard. If someone here gets engaged to be married, they've got this opportunity before the wedding date to kind of back out of the wedding, should they want to. And they don't have to go through with it. That's not actually the way it is with Jewish weddings. In Jewish weddings, there's two stages. There's the betrothal and there is the actual wedding ceremony. But when a man and a woman are betrothed to one another, that is a binding covenant. They are fully fledged husband and wife. Have you ever wondered why, when Joseph found that Mary was pregnant and she was betrothed to him, that they hadn't yet consummated the marriage, why he was considering divorcing her? It's because a betrothal was a binding covenant. They were fully fledged husband and wife. And to get out of this betrothal would require a divorce. And so it is. I think this is the picture that we have here. That we are betrothed, we are fully fledged as God's people, we are his bride. There's no backing out. It is sealed in his blood. But there is a wedding ceremony coming. Listen to what it says, for example, in Revelation 19. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like the loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Alleluia, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, has been given to her. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's people. Then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. At the end of the Bible, I've talked so far about the past, the covenant, what God has done for us. I've talked about the present, that he is cleansing us, he's washing us by his water and the word. He's at work right now, but now I'm talking about the future. There is a time in the future. It has not come yet. It's called the wedding supper. The wedding of the Lamb has come. The bride, it says, has made herself ready. It's a time in the future that has not come yet. At the end of history, the way that history will wind up is with a great feast, a wedding feast, a biggest party you've ever imagined. And it is the most beautiful thing that could ever be conceived. That everyone is together. And the King of Glory gets worshipped and loved and adored. This wedding is coming. It's the climax of history. Yes, we're in a painful time right now. Yes, there's many of you in this room that are walking through hardship and difficulty. That's true. But there is been a covenant being made by Christ. It's at the very expense of his own blood, and there can be no changing this wedding that's coming. And the question at the end of this passage is, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's very, very important that you are there at the wedding supper of the Lamb, that you are part of the bride. Blessed are they who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And there is an invitation even today to you. Will you come? Will you come and be part of the bride? Will you give yourself, just as he's totally giving himself up for you, will you give yourself and give yourself completely to him? Get a new identity. Get a new name. Get an inheritance. All from him. Be cleansed by his goodness and his grace. The Lord is calling us, each one of us, even though we live through a pain-filled world, discouragements and hardships, our eyes, his eyes were on us as he is going through the cross, on his people, a radiant church. And our eyes need to be on him, looking to him and looking to that day. Even when discouragements come and hardships come, please, please, will you turn your eyes to that day? Will you live as those that have got so many riches? Sure, I know there's discouragements here and there, but they're only little compared to the glory of what is going to be revealed. These light and momentary troubles, they can't be compared to the glory that is going to be revealed in the coming time. So I'm just encouraging you this morning that the Lord has given us this beautiful, beautiful picture, that our hearts would be encouraged They'd be ravished by his love. They'd be strengthened by his grace. And that our eyes would look to him and go through this world with joy, irrespective of the circumstances, because there's a day coming. There's a day coming when we will worship him face to face. Yeah, let me pray and we will sing. Lord, we don't see that clearly yet. We only see glimpses. But we're asking, Father in heaven, that you would so work by your Spirit and your Word in our hearts, Lord, that we might worship you in anticipation of that great day where we will worship you truly. Yeah, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our last song is Ancient of Days, where we're assigning blessing, honour, glory and power to our God. Please stand with me and sing.
Concludes our service this morning. If you are new and you'd like to know more information, over there there's a sign near the lounges and there's some information packs there. We'd love you to grab one. We'd love you to stay and have a cup of tea and coffee with others. If you'd like to pray, there'll be opportunity to pray up the front here with other believers. So let me pray for us all now. Yeah, Father, you are our Father in love and strength and great faithfulness. So we thank you and love you, Lord. We thank you that we could come and worship you. And we go now, Lord. We go into our day tomorrow, into our week. And we would love to be a people that have eyes on you, even when hardships and troubles come, Lord. So please help us, we pray, knowing that you are our King and that you've made an unbreakable covenant with us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Why not say